Cartoonist is a woman.
Yeah.
Mouse drawing. So what is the subject, what's the issue, and what's the take?
Yeah.
Three different ways, and then how do they achieve that? And there's something I want you to notice about her line. Cartoonists that work in black and white, what they're really working with are two things, line and shading.
Yeah.
And she uses a pure line. She very rarely fills anything in. You know, the tires are not dark here. And her line is a very thin, wiry, sketchy, very moving line. It sort of never sits still. And other cartoonists you'll see have very controlled outline. There's a certain amount of agitation here. It's very sketchy,
mm-hmm.
very gestural. Okay? You've seen one cartoon by him already, Bill Mitchell.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And A Chorus Line. The longest running show at the Pentagon doesn't close.
Oh, boy.
So we have all these characters from, and we just know because they have these caps on. Fraud, self-interest, waste, gluttony, abuse, extravagance, bloat, deceit. It's kind of take off on the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
He did this at the time when the Broadway show Chorus Line opened on Broadway. So that was sort of in the news.
Uh-huh.
And this was at the time when, remember when the $300 toilet seat and the $700 hammer, you know, that whole thing came up. So he put those two things together and came up with this image. This is Bill Mitchell. I wrote a story on him. I interviewed him. He was the syndicated cartoonist for the Gannett newspapers for the country, and very interesting young man, based in Rochester, New York. We asked him if he would do a self-portrait for the article, and he said, "I will." Or we asked if we could take his picture, and he said, "Yes, but let me doctor it." That's the deal. And he really wanted the freedom to doctor it in whatever way. So he's portrayed himself as the devil. And you can tell this young man is behind all of this. And he's even dealt a lot with his hands on here and then gone in and done all this stuff. Very interesting young man. However, he walked away from all of this at age 38. Unfortunately, he became so embittered that he had to do that.
Wow.
And he's now got a website, and he does cartoons on the web. He had this great job, this job that young cartoonists would just die for. But I understood it. When I interviewed him, I detected this extreme and very deep bitterness, and I thought his cartoons were getting darker and darker and darker.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
About what was he bitter, and what was did that line at the bottom of that cartoon mean?
Schindler's List?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, this is the front page of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so.
And so a review of Schindler's List was in the paper. That's right when the movie came out.
So that had nothing to do with the cartoon.
No. These are the other things that were in the stories that were in the paper.
The journal.
Right.
And about what was he so bitter?
It wasn't about what was happening in the country. He was bitter. He had a real feud with his editors. And he would... I remember one time he submitted a couple of obituary cartoons for Nixon, and they wouldn't print either one of them. They were so dark. I think I'm going to show you a Paul Conrad Nixon obituary cartoon in a minute. It's pretty dark. He was just in a battle every day. The things he wanted that he was handing in, they were being rejected more. He was doing six cartoons a week.
Oh.
I can't imagine doing that. Except he could do national and international issues. You know, if I had to do that for locally, I'd be doing parking problems all the time.
Is this after the fall of the communist regime, seeing Lenin's head there on the side?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, yeah, after the wall came down.
Because it's Lenin.
It's Lenin, and he may have had a little Lenin thing on his desk, for all I know. So it maybe is not what you expected. I looked at him and I thought, oh, he's a young man, he's an angry young man, and he hasn't come to terms with the way of the work world. Here he is just battling, and he wanted his own way all the time, and and he wasn't about to negotiate some middle ground. So it was an interesting situation. Oh. Very, very talented young man. And what I'm hoping is that he's going to go through this trough of bitterness and somehow or another come out of it and rejoin the world.
Yeah.
He's got
Not
two kids.
Yet.
And, yeah. Okay. This is by Ann Telness. And I think I have three cartoons that relate to the impeachment. This is her take on... And she has a very interesting style. Remember the other woman that we looked at? That real nervous
sketchy
little line. Yeah, she just does outlines. She uses a brush, not a pen. Very simplified. So we have Monica over here and the Republican elephant over here, and she's thinking, and when the president leaves office, he'll marry me and we'll live happily ever after. And the Republican elephant is thinking, and when the president leaves office, the voters will elect me, and we'll live happily ever after.
Fantasies.
Yeah, and you can pinpoint this in terms of the date, okay? This is a cartoon by Sack, who has a very bold style.
Yeah. Seen her face so much on TV.
I know. But to me, it feels like 8 years ago. 10 years ago!
Yeah.
History! And you know, this was right after she came out with her little press conference statement, I'm just like you. Wow, great take. Yeah. Very bold style, right in your face. Okay? This is Caltrow. Is the cartoonist here, who has a very elaborate, very, what I would call a very Baroque style, a lot of detail, a lot of fussiness, you know, like that Ann Telness, but this web of line here. And what we have is someone who looks like he's on the Spanish Inquisition. Here's his axe and his big collar and his cap and all that stuff. Do you currently, or have you ever received a Victoria's Secret catalog in the mail? House Judiciary. So that was his take on the House Judiciary Committee.
Okay? Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah, this is pretty brutal. This is by Santos. Interesting. Now, I'm making more comments about style because I want you to be a little bit more aware of that. Here is Uncle Sam. Anytime we see Uncle Sam, he stands for our country. We're making a statement about our country. Here he is watching the TV. And now, the latest on the dress. Eagerly awaiting the news, meanwhile, in the rest of the world. Serbia. Kosovo.
Oh, boy.
These big, huge, and he's used exaggeration and scale to portray these two big bullies beating up this little figure down here. A woman with a baby. You have to really look at it to see all of that. Mm-hmm. And the artist has taken his pen or his brush, put it in his ink well, and just gone like this, done a Jackson Pollock on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's really effective.
Fantastic.
The change
what
in scale.
What great perspective that is, though, in that particular period of time.
It's so true.
Okay. Here are two cartoons by Herblock. Herbert Block, Los Angeles cartoonist, also syndicated. He's now 83 or 84 years old. He's had an absolutely long, wonderful career. Was very important, started out after World War II, was a critical figure in the McCarthy era, really went after McCarthy. This is a 96 cartoon, and there's a double meaning here. Here's the Republican elephant. The primary's all locked up. And the Republican elephant is in the pose of Rodin's thinker, that famous sculpture. Okay. Looking a little forlorn.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's a strong gun control advocate. Oh, sorry, fella, I didn't know you were just reaching for a handkerchief. Another state okays carrying concealed weapons. And this man is, of course, shooting him.
And these other people have guns?
Yeah. Now... Yes, and that's the implication here. See, in Herblock's cartoons, there's usually a lot of information. You have to really take your time and look at it all. He uses a lithographic pencil, and he uses a sort of standard sketching technique. And this is quite wonderful, all this in here to suggest all that. And it's very fresh and very direct. You feel as if he's just finished it, and he's just presented it to you. I don't put him among the greats, even though he's had this very long and remarkable career. His style has sort of stayed the same for the last 30 years, and that's the main reason I... when you look at the two that I'm going to put in the very top category, their style has evolved, it's simplified, it's become stronger, purer. Herblock still is quite fussy, and I have the feeling that if he just thought about it a little longer, he'd simplify the drawing a bit and to make it stronger. This is a cartoon by Pat Oliphant, Australian-born, came to the United States as a young man, was hired by the Denver Post in the 60s. That's going to take some triggering.
There, that's sure.
There we go. Okay, what do we have here? We have the United States Capitol as a ship that's sinking. And
everybody's leaving.
Yep, and you know, the cliche is the rats are the leaving a sinking ship, and there's a pirate flag up here. American flag
staying,
has been taken down.
They're staying, and everybody else is leaving.
They're staying, and who's leaving?
All the congressmen.
And this saying, everybody's leaving, ain't it wonderful? Soon there won't be nobody left but us rats. Now, I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly when he did this, but it was in the context of the time. And he was, I think he was doing a sequence of things where he was really criticizing Congress.
It was most likely when they shut down Congress, and they shut down the government.
Right. I bet you're right. Yep. Yep. Okay. Okay, well, here we've got a date, 128-91. He does this American couple quite a lot, this very cozy, comfortable American couple in their home, watching the TV, cat is here, popcorn is here.
Oh, what a lovely
slippers.
Anyway, how cozy it is on these cold winter evenings to snuggle down in front of TV and watch the war. And he has a little penguin that's called Punk. That's his little, and oh, what a lovely war. Very cynical about how safe we can be when terrible things are happening elsewhere. The TV generation. Now, one thing about Oliphant is he is extremely elaborate. His drawings are absolutely wonderful to look at as drawings. There's so much in them. There's another one here. You have to look at the pictures. Sometimes he does things with the pictures on the wall. All the details are just right, and so he creates a whole environment frequently. Okay.
Are you familiar with Botero?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That looked like a Botero.
A Botero couple, This is this Latin American Colombian painter whose figures are all 300 pounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why.
I think he's making a comment on bloat, and I think it's a very dark view of humanity.
Well, that's
fundamentally.
A good one.
Yeah. Okay, this was during the World Conference on Women, and this is Oliphant's. The two Chinese men are talking, what do they want? And here's Bella Abzug, who went.
Of course.
And this is how Oliphant portrays the feminist movement. Whenever you see this figure in an Oliphant cartoon, he's making a comment on feminism. This big, burly Brunhilde with her, you know, the Viking thing. And she's always wearing a striped T-shirt, a big skirt, and combat boots. he's a take no prisoners guy. Everybody gets it from him.
One of the Orientals looks like Ronnie Reagan on the left there.
Yeah, he does. But
yeah, if you see his Oliphant's Ron Reagan cartoons,
right?
Yeah, he does a lot with those lines coming down the face. Oops. Okay. All right. Here is March 22nd, 1996. Circle of Lawyers, Liggetts turned stool pigeon. This is the office of Big Tobacco. And this is how he portrays lawyers.
Yeah.
And down here, the punk is saying, a flock of lawyers, a herd of lawyers, a school, what is it? We call it a venality of lawyers.
Yes.
Is the answer to that little question. This is also a takeoff on a fairly famous Thomas Nast cartoon. Okay? Okay, now this is Paul Conrad, who is the other person. If Pat Oliphant has gone in the direction of more elaboration, his drawings are more and more baroque, more elaborate, you know, lots of little fussy things and everything else. He's just become a master at that. Paul Conrad has done the opposite. He's boiled it down to very simple, strong, clean drawings, simple symbols. Many of Conrad's cartoons have no text in them at all. They rely only on the visual symbol. And he frequently does things. This is a sequence cartoon, and we know who everybody is here.
Sure.
And famous statements.
Yeah.
I am not a crook. I don't really recall any Iran-Contra connection. I was not in the loop. I did not have sex with that woman. And you can probably understand something about his view of politicians in general. But I do want you to notice his kind of jagged but very bold and aggressive line, and then he uses a lot of big flat blacks. Okay? It's another sequence. This was his view of Ken Starr. Okay, the evolution of independent counsel Kenneth Starr is the little headline here. And we read it from here, and it begins to metamorphose into Joe McCarthy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Terrific.
That is excellent drawing.
Oh, yeah.
To pull that off. Yeah, okay. When India and, when the nuclear age really blossomed in India and Pakistan, and on the announcement that we were going to have atomic bomb tests over there, he goes back to and combines three symbols, and somebody here can tell me where that statement comes from.
It's Robert Oppenheimer's statement after they shot the bomb off in New Mexico.
Right.
The first test.
Oh. Right, 1945.
It's from the Hindu or something like that.
Yeah, from either the the Upanishads or the Bhagavad Gita. He reportedly said that when the first test bomb exploded, we are become death, and understood the implications of this. So Conrad knew, remembered that. He's put that here, and he's combined the globe turning into a skull or a death head, and then the nuclear symbol, all three things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very graphic.
Nice.
Yeah,
very
graphic.
Sweatshop.
Yeah, sweatshop.
There you go. Tell me all about it. What do you see?
Children. Childlike.
What's that have to do with we're buying so many
imports? Oh, they're sewing the American flag.
Right, right. This is a textless cartoon. And remember when Kathy Lee Gifford made the announcement that they realized that the clothing thing that she was promoting, that they were main sweatshops, and Nike's gone through the mill on that and
yeah.
It's a big issue.
All
that
your expensive clothers do it. Buy it overseas.
So this is Conrad's response.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is exploitation of third world countries to make cheap American products or to make American products. So we have a child at a sewing machine stitching the American flag. And granted, this is an enlargement. I made the slide as big as I could of this, but you see this very bold line of his. Okay, it's a sketchy technique, but it's very different than that really wispy little pen line of the other thing. And then this, the American flag going out. It's really strong. Okay, here are two Conrad cartoons, two very different periods. This is the Nixon obituary cartoon I mentioned a little while ago.
Oh,
yeah. That I think is a really strong and a very dark cartoon. Here is Nixon, who has hung himself, kicked over the chair, and what has he been hung with?
Tape.
The tapes.
The tape.
This was right after the Butterfield announced that all the conversations were on tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was Conrad's cartoon. Just amazing. And we have, we have enough that we know who it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's really
yeah.
strong. He really went after Ken Starr. Special prosecutor Kenneth Starr here opposing him as King Henry VIII. Would get Clinton on the axe, and at that point he had spent, the investigation had cost $35 million. There's no doubt about where Paul Conrad stands, and that is, that's your job as an editorial cartoonist. You're supposed to have a point of view, and you're supposed to make it as clear and as strong as you possibly can. And not everybody's going to like it. Okay, now we're at a bridge here. This is a Paul Conrad cartoon. Campaign finance reform, ? Forget it. And here is a, quote, fat cat. And for a head, we've got a television set with a dollar sign. And he's saying, as long as there's television and campaigning and everything else, we're just never going to have finance reform because it costs too much money. And in He pays tribute to, I can't read it, and I'm not sure.
LA Times.
Yeah, da, 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 da. Oh, Nick, what you can't see here, it says Conrad plus Nast. This is a Thomas Nast cartoon.
Oh,
and this
Nast.
Is Boss Tweed. This is how Thomas Nast portrayed Boss Tweed. And calling him the brains. Big fat man with his diamond, huge diamond pin here. And he started just putting his big bag of money instead of a head there. And it disappeared in a lot of his cartoons. Okay, can I have the next? Most of us today, I think in general, people, if I say, have you ever seen a Thomas Nast cartoon? Sometimes people say, oh, yes, I think so. And then I say, do you, what kind of image do you call up of Santa Claus when I say that? Any old drawings or anything else? He made this image of Santa Claus famous. He did a whole sequence of these etchings that appeared in Harper's Weekly, The Coming of Santa Claus putting down the presents, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. And it happens to look a lot like Boss Tweed, this short, man. Here he's got the cheery red nose and all that stuff, being friendly to the animals. But these are the two sides of Thomas Nast, okay? And I put these two together here because here's a really famous drawing of his of this. And here's one of the last ones that he did of Boss Tweed where he shows you his face, his big diamond stick pin. This is pretty late, July 1, 1876. He did, now I've lost how many. Thomas Nast decided he was personally going to really go after the Tweed ring. It was so
it takes a thief to catch a thief.
Yeah. And is pretty much credited with leading public opinion in order to bring down this very corrupt machine that was bilking the city of just millions and millions of dollars. Okay? Some people have said this is the greatest American political cartoon that has ever been done. And this is Thomas Nast showing the Tammany Tiger. It was Nast who decided to symbolize the Republican Party as an elephant and the Democratic Party as a donkey. He also symbolized Tammany Hall, corrupt Tammany Hall, headed by Boss Tweed, as a Tammany Tiger devouring the people. So he's put the Tammany Tiger in a Roman arena. Here is Boss Tweed. These are portraits of his cronies surrounding him. They have dollar signs here and there all over them. And he is attacking, and of course then there's an obvious association with the Romans and Christians and all that stuff. The ballot box, destroying the vote. Honor, integrity, law, there's the Republic here. Everything has a name on it. And he's added a lot of intensity to this by making these women, I think.
It's one of they didn't wipe him out. I mean, that kind of hard to say.
Justice up there? Is that? The second person up, laying on her back.
Yes, right, yeah. Yeah, the scales of justice. And broken swords and all of that stuff. This ran as a huge cartoon. It's called The Double Truck in a Newspaper across the center fold of a newspaper.
Uh-huh. So what was the date of that? Do you have the date of that?
This is after the Civil War, and it's in the 1870s, early 80s, something like that. I don't have a specific date in my head, sorry. This is another one that you will see contemporary cartoonists parodying. The lead people that I've talked about have all done imitations of this. So here we have vultures. Now, this is Boss Tweed. And these are specific people. And they're, The caption on this was, Let Us Pray, P-R-E-Y. And here is a human figure that says New York on it. And then all of these skulls all have names on them. And look how elaborate this is. Of course, this is an etching technique. So there's a lot of cross-hatching in order to build these beautiful blacks and develop all this incredible detail. We don't have that kind of... Oliphant's about the only one who's doing that level of detail in cartoons.
And the negative drawing as well.
Yes, right. In here. Yeah, and then the feeling of the storm. Okay?
Tweed again.
Here's David Levine. Remember LBJ and the Scar? This is the contemporary author who's doing a contemporary takeoff of that NASCAR tune.
Wow.
But it's Nixon, Haldeman, and Ehrlichman.
Oh, yeah. Tape instead of a diamond.
There we are. David Levine does a lot of this cross-hatching. It's in his own style, but it's just a wonderful thing. So if you know that about NAST...
He credits NAST down there, I see.
Yes, NAST, David Levine. Yeah, when you do, that's what you do. If you are borrowing an idea, then you put both names on your cartoon.
Cool.
I've done that a couple times.
They usually say with apologies to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Conrad does that a lot.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, here's a Thomas NAST cartoon that helped elect Lincoln, the second election. And he acknowledged that. He even said, Lincoln said, without this cartoon, I might not have won the election.
Hmm.
And you know, that's something that's hard for us to believe. But here's, in his cartoon, here's the North, here's the South. NAST was very much against the people that were arguing appeasement and settlement and all that kind of stuff. He was very tough on the issue of the war. And so he's coming at this in a kind of negative way. He's showing a legless soldier from the North.
But they won the war.
Coming to the grave. This was at
this
a critical
is before.
A critical time, yeah. Approaching, and he's deliberately making the Southerner look proud, healthy, and all that kind of stuff. Putting his foot on the grave in memory of the Union heroes in a useless war. What NAST was doing was going at all the people who were saying, we've got to settle here, we've got to get out of this thing, there are enough dead already, and you notice the flag is upside down over here. And it was a very fiery cartoon. It made a lot of people angry, and it fired up the side to really pursue the war. This is an anti-Lincoln cartoon. Here is Lincoln at the battlefield with an associate who's got a harmonica here, and it says, "Now, Marshall, sing us Picayune Butler or something else that's funny." And this cartoon was to portray Lincoln as heartless, not giving a thought to the wounded and the dying that were everywhere, but going out to the battlefields and saying that kind of thing. So these are two political cartoons for that campaign.
Who did this one?
I don't know the name of this guy. I don't know the name of this. I got it in a book of Civil War book. And here's the first appearance of the Republican Elephant, 1874. And this is a NAST cartoon. I can't elaborate on the subject here. Everything's got a label, and the Republican cartoon. It's probably a reform cartoon.
The dog
and sheep. Plains,
chaos.
Yeah. Okay. Thomas NAST was very much against Andrew Johnson and was a supporter of the impeachment forces that were trying to get rid of him. He was very bitter about Johnson. And I just want to look at this cartoon. Here, NAST has portrayed Andrew Johnson as King Andy. And for much of our history, the worst thing you could say about a president was to say he's acting like a king. And that's come out with Clinton a couple of times. It's been very interesting. That's what we got rid of. That's what we left. That's what we wanted to be free of. So long live King Andy. He's being very ironic here. Shows him sitting on the thing with his cronies around him, and there's a lineup of people coming to a block to be beheaded. And of course, the impeachment issue is that he fired some people and didn't follow protocol with Congress, so some people decided they were going to. He was also, the thing that NAST hated him for is that he was soft on the South.
And that's the end of the recording of the hour of Judith Reynolds' presentation to our Elder Hostel group today on July 19th, 1999. This is Todd Ellison recording for the Fort Lewis College Archives, Center of Southwest Studies. Her topic was Outsiders and Iconoclasts, and it was about editorial cartoons. This was recorded in Sage Hall.